gratitude, the daily application of a yearly celebration. The daily application. We think of Thanksgiving and it's just one day and that's the day we're supposed to give thanks. Yeah, no, not according to the Bible. We're constantly supposed to be having an attitude of gratitude. Father, we thank you that you are here. We thank you so much for coming down. Father, thank you for visiting with us. Thank you for sharing in song and allowing us to praise you. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this nation to worship you. Right now, Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in third world countries. Lord, we remember those pictures of those in China and Korea, of those brothers and sisters who meet in a cave at 4 o'clock in the morning and are shoulder to shoulder just to be able to worship you because they don't have the freedom that we have here. And we take it for granted, Father. So forgive us for taking those things for granted. But Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters. We ask you to please bless them. We know that there are others who are being tortured for the name of Jesus Christ. They are being in prison. Lord, some of them don't even have a roof over their heads, but Lord, they have a smile on their face because they know you. Some have had, Lord God, acid poured in their face because of their trust and belief in you, yet they're a radical believer and disciple for you. They still have that smile and says, Jesus gave himself for me, and I have to give myself for them. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless this time, that you would help us to understand the great blessings that you have given us in this nation. And Lord, we pray that you would please be with us today and bless your people, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. And all the time, God is good. Praise God. If you love to read nail-biting, cliff-hanging thrillers, chances are you know the novels of Andrew Clavin. Andrew Clavin is a best-selling author, incredible writer. And if you've never read one of his books, maybe you've seen one of his movies. Years ago, with Clint Eastwood, he wrote a book called True Crime. That was made into a movie. Then Michael Douglas starred in another one of his novels called Don't Say a Word. And Andrew loved, ever since a child, to love to write stories. He wanted to be a novelist. That was his ambition in life. And he says, quote, I wanted to be a writer for as long as I can remember. I love tough guy stories because I didn't get along with my father. I needed a male role model, and I turned to stories like Ernest Hemingway and the tough guy detective stories of Raymond Chandler, The Maltese Falcon by Dashiell Hammett. I thought, these are the kind of men that I want to be like. No role model in his life, so he turned to these tough guy individuals. And it's interesting, his father used to come down on him really bad. At 15 years old, when he was in his room typing, just to get him annoyed, his father would come into the room and try to get his mind off of his writing. This is the cruelty that he was going through all these years, and his dad was just constantly harassing him. When he became of age, he wanted to move away from New York City as far as he could. So he attended the University of California in Berkeley. And it was there that he met his wife, Ellen Flanagan. And in some time after that, the two of them got married. And he began this writing career. He was about 26 when he started his crime writing career under the pseudonym Keith Peterson. In 1977, he wrote his first novel, and it was called The Face of the Earth, or Face of the Earth. Complete flop. He was trying to get a publicist, trying to get an agent after this book, and nobody would even come close to him. Imagine, he's investing all of his life in this, and the first attempt that he has just fails. As a result of that, Andrew went into a very deep depression. It was a very, very dark time in his life. Matter of fact, after his first child was born, and he was still trying to write years later. He wanted to commit suicide. It got so dark in his life. He said, I was in my bedroom, my wife was in the living room, and my little baby daughter was in the nursery. I was drinking a scotch and smoking cigarettes and was thinking of killing myself, throwing myself off the roof because we lived in a 10-story building. I thought everyone would be happier. My wife would be better off. My daughter would be better off. Everything would just be better off if I just threw myself off of this building and ended it. That's pretty dark. As he's sitting there smoking his cigarette, drinking his scotch, there was something playing in the background. It was a radio. And on the radio, there was a Mets game. And Andrew loved the Mets. So he thought, let me just see how this ends out before I go and kill myself. So he's listening to this baseball game going on. And there was one particular individual, the catcher of the Mets at that time was Gary Carter. And Gary Carter was an infamous baseball player, but he was also a very devout Christian man. And any time the Mets would win and the interviewers would come to Gary, he'd be in his catcher's outfit and they'd say, Gary this and Gary that. He said, oh, praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just thank the Lord for allowing us to win. He'd always be putting Jesus out there. And in this particular game that Andrew is listening to, Carter was at bat. He hit the ball. It was a ground ball, went right through everybody. And by the time somebody snatched it, I think it was the shortstop, he got it and he threw it to first, but his throw was too late. Gary had actually got to first before that ball came there. And that's what brought a run in. And they won the game that day. And this was amazing because Gary had bad knees. So the fact that he could run so fast was a miracle in itself. And of course, after the game, a reporter came and asked Gary, how could you run so fast when your knees are so bad? Andrew's listening. Remember, he's contemplating suicide. And he's expecting to hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus that. Jesus, help me do that. Andrew replied, if Carter, in that moment, had said, Jesus, 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 I wouldn't have heard him because he's contemplating suicide. I wasn't ready for that, says Andrew. I had pushed God completely out of my life, but he didn't. What he said was, sometimes you just have to play in pain. That's all he said. And when Andrew heard those words, sometimes you just have to play in pain. Sometimes you just have to push through. Sometimes you just have to keep going. Despite the pain, you have to do your very best. Yes, God's in the background helping me, but Gary didn't even bring up Jesus, didn't even bring up God. He just brought up the fact that sometimes you just got to go forward even when you have pain. Can I get an amen? Amen. That was exactly what Andrew needed to hear. Andrew was about to kill himself, and he said, wait a minute, I'm a tough guy. Gary's a tough guy. I can do this. I can play through the pain. And from that moment forward, he never contemplated suicide again. At that time also, he was reading a book, a sea novel by Patrick O'Brien. And one of the characters in this novel was a man by the name of Stephen Maturin, a physician, natural philosopher, and intelligent agent. And in this novel, Andrew read that this Murin had said a prayer and fell asleep. And Andrew could connect with this individual because he was an intellectual, he was smart, and he figured, wait, if this guy can say a prayer and fall asleep, I can say a prayer too. And that's exactly what Andrew did. Andrew says, I said a three-word prayer. I said, thank you, God. Turn to somebody and say, thank you, God. A three-word prayer. Thank you, God. And I went to sleep. Listen, this is what Andrew says. The next morning, I woke up and everything had changed. He had acknowledged God for the first time in his life. He was acknowledging him for the good things that God had given him. He was acknowledging God like his friend Gary Carter. He was saying, thank you, God. He said, I was suddenly more alive when he woke up that morning. I suddenly saw everything more clearly. I had been trying to see things clearly since I was a little boy, and suddenly there it was. Everything was beautiful. I could see my wife's face. I could see the coffee in the cup, and I realized it was a prayer. That prayer, it was those three words that changed everything. Thank
you God.
So many times we forget about God. And so many times we forget to thank God even for the smallest things that happen in life. We wake up, we go about our business, we drive in our cars, we put gas in the car, we get our check, we go and buy groceries, we go and buy clothes, we do all of these wonderful things, forgetting that the God of the universe is the one who supplies all of your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Israel had this problem. God said over and over in the Old Testament, they have forgotten me days without end. I'm here stretched out. My arms are stretched out day and night, waiting to get just something from them. And yet my people have forgotten me days without end. Thank you. Three little words that changed everything. Everything. How does giving God thanks change things? Can I share some of the things that change as a result of you just giving thanks? Somebody mentioned scientific research has proven the positive effects of gratitude that it has on the brain and on the body. Robert A. Emmons, PhD, a psychology professor at University of California, Davis, and director of Emmons Lab, which creates and shares scientific data on gratitude and its effects on the human health. He said this, quote, "For too long, the concept of gratitude had been ignored." And he calls it the forgotten factor in the science of well-being. Another doctor, Shelley Dotson, says there is a connection between what happens in your brain and what happens in your body. I don't think we can fully explain it right now, but we can tell the benefits of gratitude are real. Think about this. Scientific proof and evidence that as we give gratitude, as we give thanks, something happens in our body, physiologically, chemically, psychologically to us. There's a benefit that happens to it. What are some of the things that happen? What are some of the benefits that happen to people who are grateful? Number one, people who are grateful are more optimistic, which boosts the immune system and leads to fewer sick days. How many of you would like that? Start giving thanks. Have healthier hearts and less inflammation. Thank you, Jesus. Can handle stressful situations better and show lower blood pressure and lower levels of stress hormone cortisol by giving thanks. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? This is what's going on in your body and my body as we actually put into effect the words, thank you. Turn to somebody and say, thank you. You get more restful sleep as a result of having gratitude, are seen as more successful by other people, your coworkers, enjoy increased sense of confidence, that's good, are more patient, I got to give thanks more, make better long-term decisions and set more meaningful goals. And a recent study also indicates that gratitude may reduce the impact that aging has on the brain. Pretty wild, isn't it? And you can go on, and you can go on, and you can go on, and you can go on. Just do a search over the internet over the benefits of gratitude, and you will find books on the psychology of gratitude. You will find every possible thing that gratitude will do physiologically for you, and mentally for you, emotionally for you, in so many ways. Just by giving thanks. Isn't that incredible? You would think that's good, right? Yes, thank you. One more time. You would think that's good, right? Okay, thank you for staying awake just for a few more minutes. We'll be over in 3 hours, I promise. The tractors will come and move the building as we're here. No. But interestingly enough, it is good. And you know what? God knew that all the time. And he wrote it in his word thousands of years ago. He said, it is a good thing. Can you say it is a good thing? To give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is a good thing. It is a beneficial thing. God says, give thanks. Why? Because he knew all along that when you give thanks, especially to him, it's for your welfare. It's for your good. As you're giving thanks, it's a good thing. Somebody say, it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. He wants you to give thanks. He wants you to give thanks always. Amen? For all things, no matter what the situation is. And we'll get into that in the weeks to come. So there's physiological, there's psychological benefits, but there's spiritual benefits to this as well. The first thing, when we give thanks, we are reminded of our dependence on God. You know, ingratitude is a sin just as surely as is lying or stealing or immorality or any other sin that's condemned in the Bible. One of the Bible's indictments against rebellious humanity is that although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks. One of the signs that's going to happen in the last days is people are not going to be thankful. They are going to be unthankful people. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy, that in the last days, people are going to be malicious. They're going to be haters of self, but they're going to be unthankful as well. I don't know if you've noticed that in the world today. I noticed that the other day, somebody was needing to get out and I let her out. Yeah, nothing like, you know, not even a hand like, hey, you know, no thanks at all. And I thought, thank you, Lord. That's a confirmation of the message you want me to bring Sunday, because that's exactly what's happening in the world. We are living in a world where people are not grateful. And you know, sometimes that can rub off on us and we have to watch out. In the last days, the love of many will wax cold, will grow cold. And if you hang around those people long enough, you know what? Your love's going to wax cold. It's going to grow cold. My old friend, Michael Francis, says, watch your friends, because your friends are going to determine your future. You hang around with people who are rebellious, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to become rebellious. You hang around with people who are unloving, guess what? Sooner or later, you're going to become unloving as well. You hang around with people who just want to go and steal and pilfer and do all this kind of stuff, sooner or later, you are going to mimic, because you want their companionship, because they're your friends. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Just get out of that. Get out of that relationship. Get out of those people's lives. Hey, if you're all alone and it's just you and Jesus, that's okay. Because Jesus won't steer you wrong. Amen. And he'll feed you with good stuff. Hang around with adulterers and adulteresses, guess what? Hang around with people who drink all the time, guess what? And I'm not saying you have to avoid these people. But listen, if you've got friends that are smoking pot and doing all this kind of stuff, stay away from them, exactly. You know, love them from a distance, if need be. And you'll notice, too, that some of these folks, sooner or later, will have this attitude of not giving thanks. The late Billy Graham said, when thanksgiving is filled with true meaning, it is not just the formality of a polite thank you, it is the recognition of dependence. When you and I give thanks to the Lord, it is saying, Lord, I am dependent on you. You are the one who is giving me everything that I have. Everything we have has been given to us by God. King David prayed, wealth and honor come from you. Can somebody say you? We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Everything comes from you. Everything comes. I don't know why it's so difficult sometimes for Christians to comprehend that everything comes from God. When you wake up in the morning, you have breath because it comes from God. When you walk from your car to the house, it's because God has given you the ability to walk. When you can think, God has given you the ability to think. We take so many things for granted. Our houses, the roof over our head, the very bed that we sleep in, the pillow, the clothes that we have. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. For it is by him that we have life and we move and we exist. When we give gratitude, when we give praise, when we give thanks to the Lord, it's showing God, I am utterly totally dependent on you. I cannot do a single thing without you. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, without me, you cannot do anything. And the Greek is even more emphatic. Without me, you cannot do a single thing. Not one single thing. That's how dependent we are on God.
No, you don't understand, Pastor. I'm a strong man. I can do anything.
Really? Then when you're struck with cancer and you're brought down and you're in a bed and you cannot move, what can you do then? Not too much, right? So many times God has to humble individuals, bring them down to the place where they have to acknowledge his existence because they're so prideful. I remember years ago being in construction. Something happened in my back and I laid on my back and I could not even turn my neck because if I did, I would have searing pain from the top of my head all the way down to my feet. I could not even move my neck. I had to stay there like this. No sleep. Doctors put me on four kinds of medications to relieve me. Nothing worked. Nothing. And I had to sit there. And then God brought Psalm 23. He maketh you to lie down in green pastures. I thought, oof, sometimes God makes us. He maketh you to lie down. You don't want to get there, folks. You don't want to get to the point where God has to make you lie down. Just acknowledge him now. Trust me. You don't want to be where I was for months and months on end. You want to just be able to give thanks to God every single day. Acknowledge your dependence on him. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Gratitude also puts us squarely in God's will. We often make God's will out to be something big, mystical, some plan that's out there. But it's really, really, really simple. The word of God says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? One more time. This is what? God's will for me, for you, for all of us. Amen?
Amen?
Oh, Pastor, what's the will of God? Number one, give thanks. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks always, for this is the will of God for you. You want to please God's heart? Give him thanks. You want to be in the center of God's will? Give thanks.
Hallelujah.
Say thank you, Lord, when you wake up. Say thank you, Lord, when you get a meal. Say thank you, Lord, when you sit down for dinner. Say thank you, Lord, when you put on your clothes. Say thank you, Lord, when you get in the car. Say thank you, Lord, for everything. Lord, I'm going through some tough times. Thank you for this tough time, Lord.
Amen.
That's a difficult one, isn't it? But God's word says this is the will of God for you, to give thanks always. Oh, hallelujah. When you give thanks, it helps you to pray. A lot of folks have difficulty praying. You know, the Bible says, pray always without ceasing. How many of you do that? It's difficult to pray always, isn't it? You know why? Because we're too preoccupied with ourselves. Ouch. Somebody say ouch. Pray without ceasing. That's the command. If you love me, you will keep my
commandments.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Pray without ceasing. It's a command. Say, Pastor, I can't do it. I don't know how to pray. It's difficult to pray. That's it. And here's something else that will help you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Write it down. Be persistent and devoted to prayer. Be alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. I love the Moffat's translation. Listen to this. Attend to your prayers. Maintain your zest for prayer with or by thanksgiving. You're saying, I don't know how to pray. Well, you know what? Maintain your zest for prayer with thanksgiving.
Amen.
If you don't know what to say, just say, Lord, I'm here. I just want to begin by thanking you for this day. Lord, I don't know what to say, but I want to thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, I don't know how to pray, but Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I don't know what to say, but God, thank you. Hallelujah for what you've done yesterday. Lord, I don't know what to say, but thank you for that raise. Lord, thank you for that promotion. Lord, thank you for sending the money at just the right time. Lord, thank you for the food that I ate yesterday. Thank you for giving me a great day yesterday. Thank you for being with me. Thank you that you never leave me or forsake me. That's the prayer.
Yes.
You begin it with thanksgiving. You want to maintain your zest for prayer. I don't know how to pray, Pastor. Start by giving thanks.
Amen.
It's really that simple.
Amen.
Give thanks always. Now let me tell you, this is the will of God, right? That's what the Word says. And if you don't know how to pray, you start your morning, Lord, thank you so much for giving me this day. I don't know what to say, Lord, but thank you. And as you're just saying thank you to the Lord, you're in God's perfect will right there.
Amen.
You're starting your day right off in the perfect will of God when you pray. Amen?
Amen.
Three words changed Andrew Clavin's life. Thank you, God. Three words changed everything for him. And it gives you access. By giving thanks, gives you access into the very presence of God. Let me tell you something. When you begin to give thanks to the Lord, you know how God repays you? He comes down. God repays you by allowing you to feel His presence. He will come down and He will begin to fellowship with your soul and with your spirit. But you got to spend some time alone with Him. I don't know why God is really emphasizing that today, but I'm just going to say it again. There's a need to be alone with God.
Amen.
And if you don't know how to be alone with God, just listen. Just stop. Close yourself off and just begin to thank God. That's God's will. And as you begin to thank God, you are entering in prayer, doing that to the Father. And as you do that, God's presence will come down to meet you. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. That means enter into God's presence with thanksgiving. And you know what happens as you begin to thank the Lord? You know what happens? Suddenly, you will begin to worship and praise Him, because you'll start remembering all the good things that God has done for you, and you won't be able to help but just start to lift your hands and say, oh Lord, I worship You. I thank You for Your goodness. I should have been dead, but by Your grace I'm alive. I should have had this happen, but Lord, You were there. I should have gone insane, but God, You were there. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Wow. Thank You, Lord. I could have been an anorexic, but Lord, thank You. You were right there. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
See how much God wants you to give Him thanks? There's a lot in the Word about that, isn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. We're going to be talking about this in the weeks ahead, about the power of thanksgiving. But I want you to write down these three things as we close. I want you to count your blessings one by one. Ever hear that one? That song? I want you to ponder. Remember Andrew Clavin? Three words. He went to bed and he just said, thank you, God. Before you go to bed at night, just do yourself a favor of, to yourself. Just think about all the good things that you experienced throughout the day. Just give God thanks that you didn't get into that car accident. And if you did get into that car accident, that your life was spared.
Amen.
Because sometimes things can go really drastically wrong in our lives. And many times we just go through the day and forget to thank the Lord after the whole day is gone. But I want you to ponder. I want you to go throughout your day and reflect and say, Lord, thank You for this. And thank You for doing this. And thank You for supplying all of my needs according to Your riches. Thank You, Lord God, for what happened at the job. I didn't know I could get through it, but Lord, I prayed unto You and You helped me get through that. Thank You for the studies. Thank You for what You've done today. Lord, thank You. Ponder it. Pen it down. Get a journal. That's the second thing. Ponder it. Then put pen to paper and start journaling if you can at night when you go to bed. Just write down the things. Just start journaling and just make it like David did as a psalm unto the Lord. Just say, Lord, thank You for this. Thank You for that. Write it down and practice it. Ponder it, pen to paper, and then practice it every single day of your life. Get into the habit of giving thanks to the Lord. You want to have an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, God. Listen to Andrew Clavin. It was those three words that changed everything. You want change to come in your life to a greater extent? Give thanks to the Lord. Can you stand up, please, with me? Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank you for the gift that you've given us to be able to give you thanks. Lord, we don't deserve many of the things that we have, but in your grace and in your mercy and in your kindness, you've given us things. And Lord, forgive us for not being thankful. Forgive us for not having a grateful heart. Forgive us for not putting this into practice every single day. Forgive us for not taking every moment always to give thanks unto you, even if the circumstances don't deem it. Lord, forgive us for not giving you the praise and the honor and the worship that is due your name. Father, help us today to enter into your presence with thanksgiving. Help us to wake up every morning, Lord God, to give you thanks. Help us to understand that as we are giving thanks, we are in the perfect will of God. And thank you, Lord God, that as we are giving you thanks, your presence, Lord God, will come down. That's how you repay your people, undeserving as we are. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for today. And Lord God, I pray that today you would touch hearts. Some may not know you personally. And God, I pray that you would minister to them by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would make yourself real to them. Father, I pray, like Andrew Clavin, that there would be some out there who would just begin to say, thank you, God, that would acknowledge you. And Lord, that they would experience the same things that Andrew did. These three words changed everything, a three-word prayer. Father, today we thank you. And we give you glory. We thank you for everything that you've given us. And Father, we pray that as we leave here today, that you would help us, Lord God, to ponder those things that you do every single day, to put pen to paper, Lord God, to write it down, and Lord God, to practice giving you thanks, to have an attitude of gratefulness. Lord, I pray your blessing on your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you. And may the Lord grant you shalom, peace, in Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus, the Messiah's name. And all God's people said a hearty
amen.
And somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen.